My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach integrier- und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
There was a heavy onset of storms in our area recently. I won't tell you exactly where, but I will tell you that the land here is mostly flat and therefore not conducive to dealing with rain in biblical proportions. About once a year, it usually floods so bad that the locals joke about the coming of God and his angels. My grandma, bless her, lives along a road that is notoriously bad for these sorts of problems. Once, on one such incident, when I was visiting, I saw a man misjudge just how deep the water was and plow his truck straight into a makeshift 4-foot river. He desperately had to escape his vehicle as it drifted down the street and make the embarrassing weight of shame over to one of the neighbour's inclined driveways. It doesn't help that my grandma's neighbourhood is quite old as well. She raised my dad and his sister in the house she lives in now, though their bedrooms have long since been remodeled into a guest bedroom and an office respectively. My dad's tried to coax her out several times, as the house has begun to have numerous and serious problems due to age. Rusted pipes, electrical issues, the amount of clutter that comes with living in a house for 50 plus years. You know, that sort of thing. So, it came as no surprise that during the most recent round of floods, I received a frantic call from my grandma saying that the sump pump in her basement broke. I am the only family who lives closer to her now, so I'm usually the go-to when stuff like this happens, even more than those qualified to do so. My dad, who's good at handiwork, recently moved out of the state for his job, and his sister passed quite a few years back, leaving no one behind but us. Plus, Grandma is a bit too old to haggle with professional handyman herself, so I'm used to rolling up my sleeves and heading over at the drop of a dime nowadays. It's never a hassle though. I love my grandma dearly, and I make time for her whenever I can, whether that's taking her to appointments or helping around the house with chores. She takes priority over anything else in my life. When I got there, Grandma was a wreck, wailing over the potential loss of precious photos, old newspapers, and whatever else she's kept stored down there for how many years. I took the time to comfort her, sit her down on the couch and put the chilling cup of tea she had been nursing before she heard the rushing water back into her hands. "I've got it," I told her, or something along those lines. The basement honestly wasn't as bad as I expected. It was only the unfurnished laundry slash storage room in the back that got the water in it so far, and even then it was a thin layer that would only get the pads of your feet wet. I do remember noticing something odd though, even then. One of the basement windows, which should have been doused in the milky grey of the storm, instead parted a thin line of yellow light into the room. It stretched like a spotlight over one of the stacks of books on the floor, their faded colours absorbing all of the light they could. This would only strike me as ominous later though. For now, the sump pump, which had cracked due to the sheer volume of water it was trying to filter out, was slushing out water in thick bursts. One quick Google search and a following call brought a plumber to our door in 15 minutes. The problem was fixed easily, thank God, and we sent the man back on his way with a bag of fresh-baked cookies that my grandma had made that morning. That's not a super important detail, but I just wanted you to know the type of person my grandma is. So, easy part was over. Then was just the business of cleaning up the aftermath. I assured my grandma that I had cleanup handled, especially since she already had a shop vac I could use to suck up the water with. After promising several times just to sop up all the water and not throw anything out, I descended those old, creaky stairs once more and got to work. The storm continued to rage outside. The newly fixed sump pump slugged and churned the runoff into the drainage hole, and I vacuumed. I'm sure it was quite the ruckus. All those noises combined into some strange song. My grandma never came down once to complain though, and I like my music loud, so it wasn't really a problem. I finished vacuuming pretty fast, and it was only when I was clicking the vacuum off that I noticed the stack of books again. It was no longer bathed in that impossibly honeysuckle light, but it was still eye-grabbing enough for some reason. I made my way over to it and quickly realized that most of the books in the stack were ruined beyond repair. Poking them, I found them all sopping wet, except for the one at the very top. This was extremely peculiar, as the stack came to about my knees, and the water, even at its highest, had only hit my ankles. I picked up the top, unsullied book. It was beautiful. Pocket-sized and leather-bound, with fancy stitching. The edges of all the pages had been dyed a pure and endless black. On the front, a delicate pair of lips had been carefully carved into the cover. The false mouth parted like it was about to tell a secret. It felt almost brand new. Opening it up to the first page immediately revealed who it belonged to. Juliet Desd Belsong, my long since deceased aunt. My grandmother called for me from the top of the stairs, startling me enough that I almost dropped the book. She asked if I was finished. I replied that I was, and she told me that was excellent, because she wanted help with the next batch of pastries. Now, I'm not exactly proud to admit this, but I knew with a great deal of certainty that my grandmother could not find out about this diary. My grandmother is a wonderful person. She is everything you could think of and more when you think of nice little old grandmas. In my very heart and soul, I know she could compete with Nobel Peace Prize winners for the amount of humility and compassion she has for the world around her. She is not above her humanity, however. None of us can absolve ourselves of being broken by the human condition, no matter how much we may want to. It is only the shape of the pedestal you build with the remaining pieces that define you as a person. And while my grandmother's pedestal is as radiant as she is, nothing can quite knock her off it like the mention of her murdered daughter. So, I put the diary in the back pocket of my jeans and went up to help my grandmother. I honestly forgot about it until I got home later that evening and was getting undressed to go to bed. The diary fell out of my pants pocket and landed on the hardwood of my bedroom floor with a barely audible thud, the soft leather absorbing most of the impact. As I bent down to pick it up, the book cracked open in a flurry of motion, pages flying as if struck by a harsh wind. A cloud of dust exploded outward, sending me startling back upright and into a coughing fit. Waving my hand in front of my face a moment later to clear the last remaining particles out of it, I stared down at the book through blurred vision. It sat open, flipped nearly to the end, and appeared uninterested in continuing its outburst. The pages exposed were empty, except for a single sentence written across the top line of the right page in shaky scrawl. He places a kiss upon my lips, even as my words continue to crawl through. The words were coated in a rosy, romantic hue, as the only light in my room comes from a lamp covered in a pink satin lampshade, a housewarming gift from Grandma. I picked it up gently after that, far more gently than any other book I might have accidentally dropped. A feeling of apprehension was settling into me now, and I thought of the thin trail of light that led my attention to the book in the first place. What then looked holy now seemed more like a falsehood. I should have thrown out the book. I know that now. It had belonged to my aunt, though, and no matter how spooky it now seemed, there was a certain sentimentality behind it. The romantic idea of getting closer to a relative only remembered in misty memories of Christmas dinners and backdoor barbecues. I'd be lying if there wasn't an appealing air of mystery to the whole thing too. No one in my family had ever talked to me about how my aunt had died. At the time, I was too young to hear the gory details, and when I was finally old enough, no one wanted to relive the memories. I flipped through the rest of the pages until I hit the back of the book. All empty. Whoever had kissed Juliet as she continued to speak, they were the last person she ever wrote about, at least in this journal. I glanced around my room at this point, but nothing was out of place. I walked over to the window and found it was tightly closed, so whatever phantom breeze had blown in hadn't come from it. None of the other subjects in my room appeared to have been toppled over either. Even the notes and books on the desk in the corner of my room were fine. I placed the book under my nightstand and finished changing before crawling into bed. I didn't turn off the lamp like I normally would though, instead picking up the book again from beside it and flipping again to that last page. Running my fingers across the grooves of ink, I considered my options. At this point, I had been unnerved enough to consider returning the book to Grandma the next day, or maybe even calling my father that night. Something prevented me from doing that, and I convinced myself it was the curiosity of it all. Besides, I thought, the book had to have some rational explanation for why it opened the way it did. I just didn't understand it yet. It's surprising how quickly the human brain can write off the things it doesn't want to believe in. We clutch onto our deadly truths until they take us down with them. I turned the book back to the very first page and began reading it in earnest. I couldn't tell you verbatim what was in those first however many entries. They were just mundane, two or three sentences about my aunt's day-to-day. Things like, went to the store today and got hit on by the cashier. Or, Mom yelled at me today, not happy about that. Or even, managed to get a Sharon this morning, proud. About quarter of the way in, I found the first mention of R. It was an innocent sentiment, but it caught my attention. I found R again, hoping to catch up soon. He seems different. Everyone else up until that point had been mentioned by full name, first and last. Even my father, her brother, got the same treatment. The only exception so far had been Grandma, and even she, from time to time, got a name surrounded in parentheses next to a title. Not R, though. R was always just the letter R, no matter what he was doing. R took me to the store today. It was nice to have company. My mom almost saw R out the window. How scary. R kissed me for the first time since back then today. It was by the river. These entries continued, innocent and soft, mixed amidst the hundreds of other ordinary days. The further I got into the journal, the more frequently mentions of R continued to pop up, until he was finally appearing on days he didn't even star in. R is so different now. I'm no longer afraid to admit that I'm in love with him, thinking of telling Mom soon. It would have sounded sweet if it had not been for the next immediate sentence at the bottom of the page, right underneath it. I scanned over it three times before it really hit me, and when it did, the implications of it chilled me to the bone. He did it again. The following entry read, even when I said no this time. Desperate to understand what happened after that, I attempted to flip to the next page, but instead found a clump of them stuck together by a wet substance. It dripped down my hand, thick and black, the pink of the light doing nothing to soften the liquid. The book stubbornly forced me back to the original page it opened to, where it spoke of Juliet attempting to speak through a kiss. There was more added to it now. A mantra of nativity, written over and over again, almost spilled out from between the pages. The light, once casting the words into something passionate, now painted them violently. Loves me, loves me not, loves me, loves me not. My breath hitched in my throat. I held the book away from me, across the room. Whereas before the book landed softly, it now slammed against the floor with a crack as loud as a breaking skull. It screamed, long and drawn out and pained. The pages flipped about in a ghastly wind, each shift of paper oozing out more of that thick and endless ink. I covered my ears and squeezed my eyes shut, but the screaming never stopped. Perhaps it wasn't smart to look away from what was happening, but by this point, you can probably tell I wasn't smart from the beginning. When I opened my eyes again, the pink light of the room had gone a deep red. Whatever liquid was spilling out of the diary had now started to leak out of every single book on my desk. The diary wailed and squirmed on the floor like a seizing body. I watched in horror as a hand started to crawl its way from between the pages. Long ligaments, only barely human enough to count as a finger, grasping at open air. Only when the wrist of the arm was visible and the fingers were pressed against the floor was I able to toss myself out of the bed. I threw off the sheets and scrambled over towards the diary. Unthinking and relying only on instinctual fight response, I stomped on the hand with the full weight of my body. The screaming went shrill and the hand retracted itself back into the diary. I slammed it shut and then picked it up, the leather of it so slippery and damp that it almost slid right back out of my grasp. I locked the diary away, and that's where it remains now, screaming in my hope chest, the padlock firmly shut. It almost feels ironic in a way, but I've stacked several heavier books amidst the other objects on top of it as well. Colourful sets of bleeding dictionaries that my grandma gave me to sell, but I've never gotten around to. I just hope they hold.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.